A Playlist Original.
Today we have another special guest. She is an amazing author, travel and personal finance writer. I listened to her podcast, The Thought Card, where she talks about two of my favorite topics, money and travel. I've also read her books, Affording Travel and Traveling with a Full-Time Job, which I think was brilliant. But what caught my attention was that she's currently writing a book about managing your money as a new homeowner. And I believe she would be the perfect guest to chat about all things money.
Hey everyone, my name is Danielle Desir. I am the founder and creator of The Thought Card, an affordable travel and personal finance blog and podcast. I am also the creator of WC Podcasters, Women of Color Podcasters, the first community of its kind dedicating to amplifying the voices of women of color podcasters and audio creators. I am really passionate about helping folks make more financially informed decisions. So I'm really passionate about travel and money, and it really shapes everything that I do. Some high-level accomplishments, I would say, financially is I paid off $63,000 of student loan debt in 4 years. I also purchased a home at the age of 27, and I just turned 30, and I just hit $22,000 of my mortgage paid off. So in 3 years. So I'm very excited. I think if you would ask me what's my overarching goal when it comes to my finances, it's definitely to become financially independent and to retire early. So I'm really busting my butt so that I can hang up everything by the time I'm 45, 50, if I have to, extend it. Another thing I wanted to share is that, I discovered recently that my grandfather retired at 55. Wow. So it is like in my blood. It's like he saw, and he's 87 now or 85. So he's been retired for as long as I've known him. He's been retired. I'm 30. So it is possible to set yourself up financially. It's like the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow, that's amazing. So I follow you on Instagram and Twitter. That's where I found you. And I read your books. So I read the Traveling with a Full-Time Job book, which I really loved. And I also saw that you're writing a new book right now. So why don't you tell us more about what inspired your new book?
Absolutely. So my new book is called Managing Your Money as a New Homeowner. And it's available anywhere you want to purchase books. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the good places. And the reason why I wrote that book and the reason why I write all my books is because people aren't talking about the things that we need help with. Like, yes, budgeting is really good. Learning how to save to buy a home is wonderful. But what happens after you buy the home? What happens after you get the keys to your property? No one talks about that. And for me, I struggled for the first 2 years because I made a ton of mistakes. I definitely see them as lessons learned because now, of course, they're helping me inform other folks of what to do and what not to do. But I love writing books that fill a gap. All my books are things that people don't really talk about or there's no like step-by-step framework or a thought leadership in it. So for me, I thought it was important to put all my thoughts down on paper and to share with folks, okay, after you get the keys to your home, what do you do next? And the reason why this is important is because when you're purchasing a home, traditionally in the United States, you have an entire team helping you. You have a realtor who's showing you properties. You have a bank lender who's helping you navigate the finances part so that you can get the loan. You have contractors. You have inspectors. You have all of these people who are helping you to purchase and make the biggest investment. After you get the keys, they all leave you. And it's just you and your decisions. So that is the decision for why I really wanted to write this book.
So I recently read this article on Forbes about how 70% of millennials regret buying their first home. So most underestimated the ongoing costs of owning a home, which I'm kind of like in the same boat because I recently bought my first house. And almost 40% of millennials end up selling their homes and moving back home. One of the other interesting things I learned in this article is that most of these millennials dipped into their retirement accounts to purchase their home. So do you think this is a good decision? Is borrowing from your retirement something you can avoid?
I definitely think it's something that you can avoid. It's something that I avoided. I definitely think it's a personal decision. So if you decide to do that, like, I'm not going to be here and shame you. But for me, I am trying to really build up to doing certain things. So I built up the savings to purchase a home. I may not have built up enough, which is why I struggled for 2 years, but I really believe in putting in the work to make a decision and to do whatever you want to do. So I would not personally dip into my retirement savings. However, because of COVID, there are incentives. So there are laws in place that are saying that, okay, if you do dip into it, you might not have to pay taxes. So it may be mathematically smart. Like, your retirement account may be the place that you have the most money. And if it's, you know, if there's little to no interest and you have a certain amount of years to pay it off, it may make financial sense to you for you to do that. But for me personally, I prefer to save for the things that I want. Because again, when you're borrowing from yourself, you still have to pay yourself back, right? So for me at least, might as well just save for it on the side. I also think that stat is super alarming. Like, wow, you know, a lot of people regret their decisions. And guess what? I am one of those people. When it was financially difficult for me the first 2 years, I was like, I can't believe I did this. Like, I'm struggling. Like, this is not fun. On the cover of my book, I have a woman who represents me eating ramen, because that is exactly how I felt. Exactly a true life story. Like, this is what it was. However, when I got over the hump, when I got strategic, when I became proactive, when I figured out processes to automate and to make the whole paying bill process and saving for the future process easier, I'm at the point now, my relationship with my home, I'm like, you know what? This is the best thing I did. It has absolutely been worth the struggles because it's mine. I own it and I'm very legacy focused. So I want to leave something behind, more than some things, hopefully, behind for my loved ones. And home ownership is one of the fastest way to building wealth. So I definitely can see why it's overwhelming, again, because no one teaches you this. No one talks to you about what you need to know when you purchase a home. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult. So those are just my thoughts on that.
Yeah. So when it comes to your down payment, what are some small lifestyle changes that anybody can start making today, so they can save up for their home deposit? And also, when it comes to your deposit, what's a good percentage to pay? Because here the banks require 10%. What's the percentage in the US, and how can I, as a normal person who's starting my first job and saving for my first home, how can I start saving for this down payment?
Yes. So down payment is very important. And I think for me, down payment is where I messed up the most, which is a trickle-down effect. So what you do today when it comes to down payment will affect the entirety of your loan term. So my mortgage is 30 years. So if I mess up, you know, day one, I'm kind of messed up for the next 30 years, but that's fine. When it comes to down payment, there are lots of options in the United States. So in the United States, traditional mortgages have a requirement of putting down 20%.
Okay.
20% is a good number to put down because you do not have to pay a PMI, which is a primary mortgage insurance that is attached to it when you put anything less than 20%.
Okay.
So for example, I put down 3% for my home. And at the time I was like, oh, this is so affordable. Anyone can be, you know, I can do this. This is fine. 3%. And I have a particular federal loan, call it FHA loan, and they require 3% down. And I thought I was doing a good thing. I was like, oh, I'm saving money up front. Like, this is affordable for me. I'm in good shape. Mm-hmm. Now, when I did my research, I saw that with this 3% down, once you get up to 20% of equity, the PMI charge would drop off. Now, my personal PMI charge is about $120 a month, actually. Okay. So that means it's a couple thousand dollars a year. And I was like, okay, I'm going to work really hard to get to that 20% equity as soon as possible to get that PMI charge to get dropped off. When I got to the 20%, my bank said, you know what? Nope, that's not, because of your loan type, you cannot do that. So I am stuck with my PMI charge of $120 for the rest of my loan term for the next 30 years if I spend that long. So these are the things that you need to know upfront before you put down the down payment, because if you make the wrong decision, it will stick with you and it could be very costly for the rest of your loan term. So if I had spent more time saving money and I had put down the 20% down payment, I could have removed this $120 PMI charge. And the PMI charge is additionally 1% of your purchase price. So, you know, depending on your purchase price, it will be different. But that is something that I wish I had known ahead of time. I wish I would have just saved a bit more, because for me, it's not that I didn't have the 20%. I just didn't want to spend it. You know, I had it in my savings account and I didn't want to spend it because I was like, oh, this is a great deal. 20 versus 3. Just go with the 20. Just go with the 20 because again, it's not worth it. Because imagine these thousands of dollars every year I'm throwing to this, you know, silly charge could have been reducing my mortgage faster. I could have been, you know, debt free faster, but I didn't. So these are just some of the things to consider. The second question you asked was, you know, how can you get started with saving for your down payment? I think it's really about getting clear on your budget. I know a lot of people think budget is a not so fun, nice word, but you have to know where your money is going. You absolutely have to know so that you can see and carve out funds for saving for your mortgage or for your loan, your down payment. A lot of people feel off the bat, they're like, well, I can't afford it. I'm saying, okay, you think you can afford it, but have you looked at the numbers really to determine if you can actually do this? You know, can you actually put the money aside? And the truth is, if you're having a hard time saving for a down payment, you're going to have a hard time as a homeowner. There's so many ongoing costs that will come at you at every different angle. And if you are having a hard time saving, then it's not a good trajectory. So get into the habit of saving regularly. I love using automation as a way for me to save because I'm not involved. It's happening in the background. Every time I get paid, a portion of my paycheck goes towards my savings goals. So set it, forget it, and I'm watching it grow automatically. So that's very, very helpful. Getting clear on your budget. And for those who are like, well, where do I start with my budget? I like to focus on zero-based budgeting. So what I do is I have my income minus all of my expenses and savings goals equals zero. That makes things very, very easy. And it also ensures that every dollar I earn has a job. You don't want your money to just be like, you don't want your money to run you. You want to be able, a good steward of your money, and you want to be able to tell your money what to do and where to go. So that's why I like zero-based budgeting, because at the end of the day, every single dollar I earn has a place, has a bucket, and has a purpose, which is super helpful. So yeah, I think it's just really getting clear, building really positive saving habits early on, because that's only going to help you transfer it. You know, these are transferable skills to being a new homeowner.
That's really great advice. I kind of wish I spoke to you before I bought my first property to get some advice. So another article that I read on Forbes actually this a few days ago was that 73% of homeowners agree to feeling house rich and cash poor. What exactly does that mean? And how do you avoid it?
Yeah. So house rich and cash poor it means that when you own a home, and you're living in the home, but that's all you have. You have a bank account that is close to zero or depleted, and you're living paycheck to paycheck. So it means that yes, you're a homeowner, which is at least in the US, it is kind of like an American dream, quote unquote, to be a homeowner. So it's like you're living the dream. Mm-hmm. So that is exactly how I felt when I purchased my home. And the reason why I was cash strapped was because I did not save for furniture, for repairs. And that ballooned up my mortgage by like $30,000 because I did not save for things. And I had credit card debt because, again, I did not save for furniture. I had credit card debt. Yeah. So So what happens as a homeowner when you're not financially prepared, when you don't have enough savings set aside for these things, is that you take on credit or you deplete all of your savings. So you are starting from like the ground floor. The thing about credit that's really harmful is that credit robs you of cash flow. Every new bill you add onto your plate, even if it's a small bill, it means that's less money for you to save, less money to invest, less money for you to spend on yourself or have fun. It just literally robs you of the flow of cash. It stops the current of money, stops the flow of money. So when I purchased my home and I had to do so many repairs out of pocket,
same.
Now my savings are depleted, right?
I was complaining to my friend just yesterday how much I've spent in the past 2 months on paying for a plumber, an electrician, and just all these costs that nobody told me about. So yeah, I'm going through that right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's literally like that is what that, you know, cash poor is literally you're low on cash or you have no cash and you're literally everything you're doing in your home is through your paychecks, right? Your next paycheck is going to do this next thing and all of that. One of the things that I talk about, well, two of the things I talk about in my book is really preparing, making sure that you have multiple bank accounts set aside for different things that you know as a homeowner is going to come up. So for example, you know, as a homeowner, you need to pay your mortgage. So have an account set for that. You know, as a homeowner, you need to take care of repairs for your home on an ongoing basis. Have an account set for that and work on building that up. So these are some of the things that I have now, which acts as a backstop. So I feel a lot less, I feel house rich and hopefully soon cash rich too, you know?
So I was actually going to ask you about the types of accounts, and you've already mentioned that. But now I want to ask, what are the costs involved with buying a home? Because so obviously you're paying your mortgage and you're paying, the bank basically. But what other costs should people be aware of? Because I don't think many people, well, I was one of them, I was not aware of all these costs that come with owning a home. So what are some main costs that people should research and know about before making this decision?
Yes. So there's costs on paper and then there's costs that are not on paper, but you're going to have to incur them. So let's talk about the on paper costs. So the on paper costs are usually attached to your mortgage, at least in the United States. It literally breaks it down. So you see all of the things that go into your monthly payment. So my monthly payment includes my loan, like my mortgage, which is the loan that you're paying back the loan that you took from the bank. It also includes that PMI that we talked about, that insurance if I default, like that could have went away if I had put enough down. It also covers my tax, so my housing tax. So because I have a home in Connecticut, the city the city taxes me, so that is my taxes bracket in there. And it's so funny because my tax is as high as my mortgage, so this is important for you to know.
Wow.
So when I was purchasing my home, Connecticut is a fairly affluent state, and for me as a new homeowner, and also I knew my money wasn't that long. So I decided to purchase a home in a county and in a town or a city, I would say, that has one of the highest taxes in the city. So the houses were low in price, but high in taxes. So taxes is important for you to know because it's never going to go away. You can pay off your mortgage, but your taxes for your city is always going to stay with you. So these, again, is something for, I don't mind it, but again, it's something to consider.
Yeah.
And the thing for me is that where I live, the city has one of the worst school systems. So it's like, I'm paying all these taxes and I'm not really seeing that much benefit. And if I have a family, I don't know what we're going to do. Probably go to private school, something like that. Again, things to think about. So taxes is one of them. And that is about it for on paper, right?
We also pay taxes, they're called utilities. And we pay for insurance as well at the bank. For us, it doesn't really matter on the percentage you pay on your down payment. Everybody has to pay insurance until you pay the loan off. And then you also pay your mortgage. So it's pretty much the same here. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So that is on paper, what you pay every single month. Mm-hmm. And it's a little reassuring to know this because, you know, okay, every month I have to take out X amount of money from my accounts. You know that. As a homeowner, there are things that are not on paper that you just don't know what's going to happen. So as a new homeowner, I highly recommend, you know, taking a look around your house to see what are the maintenance costs that you need to tackle in the near future. So this could mean your gutters. This could mean looking at your windows. Maybe some people have, like, you know, wind that's coming in through their windows. So you need to kind of put draft protections, right? I had to buy a lawnmower because I have a yard. So lawnmower, lawn care costs, that's really, really important. And that's an ongoing cost.
Yeah.
So that's an ongoing cost that, you know, especially in South Africa, it's warm, right?
In our complex, we have a gardener. So everybody pays like a little every month, and he cuts the grass for every single house in the complex. So that's very helpful. But I also had to buy garden tools like a hose and other things, because he only just cuts the grass and he goes, and then you have to go up and do everything else. So yeah, that was also one of my expenses. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I would say anything else. Let me think anything else. So I think what's not on paper is the fact that things may break down. So the older the home you purchase, the more likely it's going to break down. It's sort of like a car, right? An old beaded car needs more repairs over time to keep it up, versus a new car, you don't really need to do that much. But sometimes you purchase a fairly new home, but because the previous owner didn't take care of it, it may be in bad shape. So that's what I bought. I bought a home that was fairly new, but the homeowners treated it very poorly. So when I moved in, I had to bring it back up to its former glory. So I had to remove all the plumbing in the home. Actually, the home was robbed because it was vacant for so long. So they removed all the plumbing for me. So I had to actually put all the plumbing back in. An example of an ongoing cost that popped up that I didn't know of is that I have fuel. So we have a fuel tank downstairs. And when I purchased the home, it was intact. It was great. But over time, it was starting to disintegrate. And I called the fuel company. I said, hey, how much is it going to cost for me to replace the fuel tank? And they said $3,200, which is a lot of money. It is so expensive. Luckily, I had enough. Like, I had 6 to 9 months to save for it before it would, like, definitely, like, start leaking. So that gave me a little bit of bandwidth so that I can, like, you know, save for this. But things like this are going to happen. A leaky faucet is very common. Last summer we had huge bee nests and wasp nests. So they just kind of popped up, and they're a danger to my dog. They're a danger to me. So I had to remove them. So these are some of the things that you definitely absolutely need to think about and plan for. And this is why I think it's important to have a account for emergencies for your home. Yeah. Similar to how you have an emergency fund for your own personal life, like when things happen, you definitely want to have an emergency bank account for your own home, because again, your home is it's going to break down. Things are going to happen. You may need some cash. You might not always have the time to save for it. So that's why you have the funds there. If, you know, if it's an emergency, you can just kind of pay for it right there and then.
So what's a good way to keep track of all your expenses? So like, for example, I just moved into my house 2 months ago, and this is my first house. I didn't own anything. So I had to start from scratch and buy like my bed and everything. And I've been tracking all my expenses using an Excel sheet. So is there an easier way or an app or something that we should know about? That way, because I created the sheet, and then I put like 2020, and then I'm writing down everything that I'm spending, and then I'm just going to keep adding sheets. But is there like an other way where you can record how much you're spending, so you can go through it in case you plan on selling the house in the future, so you know how much you put into the house? And yeah, so what do you recommend?
Yeah, so I actually use an Excel spreadsheet as well. For me, it's just easier. I actually prefer to use Google Sheets, so that I can have it on my phone and on my computer at any time. So wherever I am, I'm mobile with it. But there are lots of budgeting apps out there. I'm not sure if they're focused for homeowners though. So that's why Excel spreadsheets are really good, because you can customize it however you want. But some of the most common budgeting apps include YNAB. So you need a budget. That's the full name of it. So you need a budget. Mint is also fairly popular. So there's lots of different ones out there, but I like Excel. I'm definitely an Excel person, and I keep it very simple.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need to know, and how can I make a decision quickly and efficiently as possible. And it's actually really good that you're keeping a tally of all your costs, because now you know, okay, this is in totality how much it costs. It's not just your down payment. It's your down payment, your repairs, your ongoing maintenance costs. So all of these things will help you to make a more informed decision in the future.
Danielle, thank you so much for taking time and waking up very early to speak to me. I really appreciate all your advice, and I'm sure all our listeners will appreciate it too. So how do we get in touch with you if somebody has a question or they'd like to learn more about you?
Yes. Well, thank you again so much for having me on today. I am over at The Thought Card on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can head over to my affordable travel and personal finance blog, thoughtcard.com. If you enjoy listening to podcasts, I have a podcast called The Thought Card. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the places. And if you thought this conversation was really interesting and you want to learn more about the lessons I've learned and how you can optimize and strategize your finances as a new homeowner, you could purchase my book, which is called Managing Your Money as a New Homeowner, available anywhere you purchase ebooks.
Brought to you by Playlist Studios.